Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Denise Gould is with us. Denise, you need a nickname. What would you like here? Do you have a nickname?
I don't. My dad was like super anti-nickname when I was a kid. I named her Denise for a reason.
Oh, well, if we I don't want to.
No. Hold on. I have a schoolgirl comment. Then that means You probably made up your own nickname and it was secret.
Dee or Niecy were permitted when my dad wasn't around. But when dad's around,
well, I'm going to assume your dad might want to, is going to listen to this because you're on this famous podcast. So we're just going to stick with Denise because I don't want to piss your dad off. Your dad's like a Nova Scotia dude, right?
He sure is.
Yeah. You don't fuck with that. So no nickname for Denise. Hey, we're playing an episode, a round of the top five game. This time, top five things to do outside in inclement weather.
Hold it. I do have an Alberta nickname. Dad doesn't know about it.
Uh-oh.
It's
plug your ears. If you're listening, Dad, plug your ears. What is it?
Gouldilocks.
Cool. Gould.
The last name, Gould.
Why? E-locks. But why?
Because it sounds like Goldilocks.
Yes. And I was the EA in a room with three teachers, and they were my three bears, and I was the Gouldilocks.
Okay. I kind of like that one. That's good. If your dad can't wrap his head around that.
I figure it's not his last name they're messing with.
Yeah. What's he
going to
do?
When Denise was going through the blonde phase. It was Denise's blonde
What's he going to do? He's going to drive to Alberta and put you in timeout? That's not going to happen.
Exactly. He wasn't allowed to he wasn't allowed to ground me since he walked out of the house and left mom to babysit the grounded girl.
To no more grounding.
Lisa Murphy.
No more grounding.
Lisa Murphy, your number five thing to do outside in inclement weather.
I'm focusing on rain for this particular one, and I'm saying going on a puddle walk.
A puddle walk. Is that exactly what it sounds like?
It is. It's that you walk and you find puddles and you on purpose jump in them. And you jump in the puddles until you are done.
The delights of puddle jumping, and it's great. And you can even do that when it's raining and cold.
Yes. Yes. And even in Florida, you can go on a puddle walk and it's 85 degrees because it rains every day at 3 o'clock.
Well, in Florida, you can do it while you're getting sunburned because the storm has been passed for 20 minutes and the ground is going to be flooded for the next 3 hours. So.
Yep.
A puddle walk. I like that one. That's a good one. Denise, what's your number five?
What flies in the wind?
Is that a game? What flies in
the
wind?
Yeah. So yeah. Windy.
My brother. My
windy
pants.
We have so many complaints. My hair is in my eyes. I'm like, oh, what else flies in the wind? And they're like, what? What else does fly in the wind? Leaves fly in the wind. Rocks don't unless you help them. So then they start finding other toys and other things that fly in the wind. So what flies
spit.
In the wind?
Spit.
Yes, it's a good one.
Yeah, people, wind is a loose part, according to Simon Nicholson's definition of loose parts, play with it. It's great. I mean, there's so much STEM-y stuff going on when you play with the wind, and it's delightful. That's a great one. My number five thing to do outside in inclement weather is block play. Turns out you can play with blocks in the wind, and you can play with blocks in the snow and in the rain. You might want to have specialized blocks. Your very expensive maple unit blocks might not be ideal for outside inclement weather play, but you can use different versions of blocks, do it yourself blocks, all those kind of things. Outside blocks are my inclement weather number five. Lisa Murphy, what's your number four?
Well, first, I just had a realization that the overly hot days down here, I would call that inclement.
Oh,
I
sure.
Think we default into thinking rain, snow, slush, hail, but an overly hot day can be just as inclement. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Squirting watercolor onto snow, kind of a low-hanging fruit. I'm sure everybody does it, but I like that. I like that one.
Favorite watercolor? Urine. So easy. You've always got a little right. bit with you. I'm not sure that's what you wanted to be doing on your playground, but there's.
Dude, it takes too long to undo everything, to actually whip it out. It's just a squat. You know, it's just. Hey,
yeah, well,
but I will say that I on purpose would always make sure to have bottles of yellow, because then somebody, you know, like I don't say nothing. Like I just put all of them out. And then somebody's like, oh, yellow snow.
It's pee. Yeah.
And somebody yeah. peed it. I'm like, yeah. whoever peed this needs to go to the doctor.
That's very yellow.
It's too yellow.
Yeah. And I mean, again, all kinds of sciencey stuff going on there and the sensory experience. And it's delightful. Denise, what's your number four?
My number four was partly Lisa's number five, the puddle jumping, but also what lives in there. So often I've had kids that they were playing the day before and forgot toys in the little hole that they dug out with the little backhoe and their shovels. And now it's filled with water. You okay, Jeff?
Some strong whiskey.
That's that Canadian whiskey.
I apologize. It's good stuff. What'd you say?
What lives in the bottom of the puddle? What did we forget there yesterday? So we like dig deep into that puddle and find out what lives there.
You start dredging. You got to build a little dredge.
There's a hand and a foot. Oh, shit.
My friend's little guy is obsessed with body parts right now since Halloween. So he's walking around with a hand. So it might be. That might be what you find in the bottom.
I wonder if it's the hand that we talked about the other episode.
Oh, Denise, wait to hear that episode about the Japanese robot hand. That's going to be, you have to Google that. That's a great one. And because puddles can get fairly deep depending on where you are. I remember when I was a kid, we would play in this puddle on my grandparents' farm. And it was, I mean, pretty much made in a dirt road by tractor tire. So it's kind of these ruts, and it was, you know, 18, 20 inches deep. And I mean, you could lose a kid in there, and it was delightful. All right. My number four, loose parts. And again, if depending on the inclement weather, that depends on how you play with the loose parts, but in a great rainstorm, ramps and tubes and hose and all that kind of stuff are fun in the puddles. Planks, hunks of wood are great as, tying onto your boots, the skis, when it's snowy on windy days, all the rope and light stuff, the pine cones and that kind of stuff that you can throw up in the air and watch blow around are great. So loose parts are great in beautiful weather and in inclement weather as well. Lisa, you mentioned heat a little bit ago. And that's the thing in Australia. The sun, just that sun beating down on you some days. I mean, the playgrounds would have the sunshades and all the kids had their hats on. But even if some days it was just so bright out, you couldn't be outside all the time because you'd literally, your skin would burst. I don't know if it would literally burst into flame, but I mean,
your retinas might.
It would. Yeah. Yeah. Your retinas melt and that's not good. So it's all about the climate you happen to be inhabiting. What's your number three?
We would have the kids with those, the listeners who are familiar with the different characteristics of snow will understand that there's certain kinds of snow that are good for certain kinds of things. There's snowball packing snow, there's sledding snow, skiing snow. There's some snow that's just pretty, but you can't do nothing with it yet. Once the snow reached that stage where you could actually manipulate it, we would actually carve and cut out blocks so that the kids could make like snow shelters.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool.
We would, the plow would come by and knock the snow off the streets. And so after, apparently we had a lot of more snow back in the 70s, but, you know, there'd be these big piles of snow, between the, in the parking area, between the street and the sidewalk there. And we would tunnel, we'd have our little shovels and everything and dig in there and dig shelters. And it was delightful. So yeah, it's hard to do that inside. You can bring some snow into the sensory table, but you cannot bring enough snow safely into the building to build a real shelter. Snow fort.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that one. Denise, what's your number three?
Trench digging.
Trench digging. So that's kind of like a snow fort without a roof.
Or in mud, or more of a hard, dry dirt, like all those different types of trench digging. Because it's not all the time you get to use the hose and the pickaxes and all those things to really pull and dig with. So yeah,
trenches. Yeah, and that's a great upper body thing. The arms and shoulders, the upper arms and shoulders get involved in that kind of stuff. And then you add, if you're digging those kind of things in the mud, you add the water and you can channel it where you want it to go. And
like the irrigation ditches. Yeah. That's always a good afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. All kinds of good fun stuff there. My number three, dramatic play. Dramatic play on a bright, sunny, beautiful day is one thing. Dramatic play when it's windy and you are out on a pirate ship and trying to make it to shore, or when you are lost in Antarctica in a snowstorm, or when the typhoon is coming in a rainstorm, are completely different. And
changes the narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, yeah, exactly. That weather changes the narrative, which changes the play. So dramatic play.
Is it too soon for me to point out, Jeff, what I see you're doing here?
No, you can point out what he's kind of doing. What am I doing?
Whether Jeff did it consciously or subconsciously, Jeff Johnson is showing and reminding you that everything inside would be outside, regardless of what you read on the thermometer.
And that outside stuff could even happen in the bad weather as well.
That's exactly.
Yeah. So number two, Lisa Murphy.
I'm saying rough and tumble, play. I have seen teachers ban it inside, but somehow because of the snow, they felt that the surfacing and the padding that the kids had on with snowsuits, like somehow they felt it to be safer, which is not why I'm saying it, but I'm saying if in fact you're on the fence with that kind of roly poly wrestling play, maybe there's room to stretch your comfort zone. When you consider that there's 3 feet of soft snow and 6 inches of snowsuit,
yeah, and three or four willing players,
you know, that perhaps there might be room to say yes to this a little bit more, maybe outside. But
yeah,
yeah,
totally
so rough
agree.
And tumble play.
Yeah, if that can get you a baby step towards supporting it, because they've got the natural padding, and if they break a bone, they've got it iced already.
There you go. So we're knocking tooth out. It's already cold.
Yeah, exactly. Denise, what's your number two?
My number two is art.
Art.
Yes, either with loose parts, with photography, with food coloring or watercolor. Or does paint work in the freezing cold? Who knows? Maybe.
You got to put the brush in your mouth to warm it up first.
Maybe.
Swish a little bit of spit on there. That's good.
It's a little different than those frozen ice blocks of paint they have to hold on to the toothpick with or the popsicle stick with.
Are the real windy days, you just kind of flip the paint up in the air and see who it lands on. And that's kind of an installation. And I mean, there's those, what's his name? That artist that did that thing, you know, Lisa
Pollock.
Pollock.
quality.
No, not that, not that one. I mean, I mean, that's.
Oh, you're talking about the guy that put like the orange
the fabric guy,
the fabric in New York City. Yeah.
He just like died a year, last year or something.
Oh, a little longer.
Yeah.
Recently, but long before last year, I think.
Yeah, time flies. Yeah, but I mean, his whole thing was covering stuff in fabric and then watching the world and the elements interact with it. So that's kind of a cool thing. So yeah, art outside in inclement weather is a great one. My number two, sensory play, because one thing all that bad weather brings with it is different sensory experiences. and if when the weather gets kind of icky, you haul everybody inside and don't allow them to experience that, you're taking away ample opportunity for sensory experiences and sensory play. I mean, just physically feeling the wind on your body is, and feeling cold, are wonderful experiences. And the research seems to be indicating that there is benefit for us humans to be physically uncomfortable. This is why, I mean, and a lot of people are advocating for things like cold water plunges or things, but you know, being able to be cold and live through it or survive walking across the playground on a windy day, all of this builds a little bit of
resilience.
I was going to say intestinal fortitude, but yeah, resilience. And that's a good thing, but also that exposure to being wet and cold, kind of sparks things in the brain and gets the neurons firing. That sensory play, but also the other stuff, all of the stuff you can do inside with sensory play, that you can do outside on a nice day. You can do it outside on an icky day as well. And it is just a slightly different version of that experience. And there's benefits to that, because our brains crave novelty. So the idea of trying to paint, painting outside on a bright snowy day with a bunch of 3-year-olds sounds delightful if you have the intestinal fortitude to give it a try.
Intestinal fortitude.
I'm going to say balls, but I decided not to. If you've got the ovaries to give it a try, go for it. That's my number two. Lisa, what's your number one?
Okay, I kind of broke the rules, but I wanted to include it. When you think about inclement weather and a room full of children, I appreciate, perhaps a little later in my career than in my early career, but I appreciated the time that children then were granted to learn how to put on their gear.
Mm.
I think, and especially Denise, I know you're working with olders. Yes or no?
Yes
you are. Yeah. I can't even imagine how frustrating it would be to have that disconnect between looking at a 7, 8, 9-year-old and being like, how come you can't zip this? You know, and not that we would really react like that, but you know, there's room for children to be allowed time to figure those skills out sooner than second grade.
You get to sixth grade and you go, but I already have on my mittens. I look at those sixth graders and I say, somebody has failed you miserably.
I already have my mittens, but you still have to put on your pants.
Yeah,
your jacket still needs to be zipped up and I'm not your mother. And they're like, oh,
right.
Like, yeah, sorry, someone failed you, bub, but take off the mitts and fix your jacket.
And they say, what are you going to do about it, eh? What are you going to do about it, eh?
About it. I'm the one.
Because Canada.
They always say, she'll let you freeze. That's all the kids are like, don't mess with her. She'll just let you freeze, but you still got to go outside. I'm like, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're old enough to do the zip.
Well, and that's true. And with the younger lens, I was raised of the mindset more from my grandmother than really my parents per se of that you don't do for a child that which they can do for themselves. Now, the truth, reality, right? I can do it faster, quicker, better, the right way, but I'm depriving them the opportunity to figure it out. And this is one of the areas that I think group care just undermines you know, children learning how to do things for themselves, right? Because, and especially group care that's not mixed ages. In a mixed age grouping, a five-year-old can help the two-year-old, right? Where you've got somebody, but a room full of two-year-olds getting ready to go outside for their allotted 20 minutes before the timer dings off or it gets too cold, they are of no service to each other at all. And the teacher's like freaking out because she's watching the clock tick, 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 tick. The kids are rolling around like baby pandas with all this gear on that weighs more than they do. I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy times.
It's crazy times. And you're like, oh my God, by the time we get out there, we're only going to have 4 minutes outside. Well, yes. And they all did it themselves. So yeah, did you quote unquote miss on some outdoor run around time? Yeah. Okay. But you know, maybe the trade-off wasn't so bad. And the more practice you give them, the less time it's going to take, right? So maybe in a couple of weeks, we'll actually have the full amount of time because the kids all know how to do this for themselves.
Yeah. And I've lost count when I was with littles on how many zippers I did up the back. Because you're not going to reach it at your butt crack. It's fine. We're just going to leave them on backwards. They're still going to keep you warm. Let's go.
What if they put their hood up?
No, just the snow pant part, not the jacket.
Just
the pants.
Well, I mean, the hood on backwards is good for the windy days. Keeps the snow out of your face. Denise, what's your number one?
My number one, I'm going to use a current catchword. Ooh. It's good for their mental health. Mm. And also their mindset. If we tell kids it's too cold, it's too rainy, it's too this and that, they don't want to go outside. They won't experience all those sensory moments that Jeff has mentioned that are so important. And if we as adults don't dress properly, not only are we not modeling, not dressing properly, we're going to be miserable outside. I personally have a snow throne for supervision that was built for me by my grade fivers. And they're like, well, you're the only one that wears snow pants. So you're the one that's allowed to have the throne. I was like, this is great. So hopefully it's still there on Monday, but they angled it just right so I could see the whole playground and sit on my throne. That was fabulous.
You mean you have snow in Alberta?
Oh, yes. We've had snow for about 3 weeks. We got a dump of 30 centimeters. That's minus 25 on Thursday.
That makes you want to go into a bar and have four or five
Canadian
pours, which will get you about one and a half American pours.
That's why you come home. And have your pour here.
Yeah, you gotta smuggle that in across the border. My number one, going for a walk. And again, it's a totally different experience when the weather is a little bit different. And I got to tell you, as a daddy, one of my favorite things to do with the kids when they were little is bundle them up. My favorite was, about this time, like October when the leaves are falling, one of those rainy fall days. So you're walking, clumping through wet leaves. Well, a fine kind of chilly rain has fallen in your face and there's a breeze blowing. It's great, especially after dark. And I guess dark, and it's kind of hard for programs to do this. But after dark outside play would fall into this category as non-traditional outside play activities. It's great to be outside with kids in the dark. It's hard to do in a program, but as parents, taking your kids for a walk in the dark or letting them play outside late at night when the lightning bugs or fireflies are out or on camping trips our kids we'd go camping and they hanging out with kids around the campground and showed up with a 5-gallon bucket full of toads that they caught in the dark, which is something that doesn't happen as easily in the light. And so all that kind of stuff is great. But, you know, going for long walks on a snowy day where you can barely see what's going on in front of you.
Jeff, I would like to offer that on a walk in, say, the winter, I'm recalling your list as you're talking. I think almost everything that you specifically said could potentially be present on a long walk with a group of children. So
sure. Yeah.
right? Stopping for that narrative, that dramatic play, feeling that sensory. You might not have blocks with you per se, but you know, depending on
blocks are everywhere if you look for them.
Right, exactly. Right. If it's a rainy day, there could be rocks that you could be stacking. So thinking more construction, but yeah, nice work there.
Yeah. And I mean, our favorite thing was that we called them, I've talked about it before, called them adventure walks. And I would just let the kids pick which direction we're going to go. And that's great on a sunny June day, but on a stormy day in November or December or January, it's just as delightful, although the adventure might not be as long or go in the same direction. So,
but to what Denise said, that if the adult isn't like tainting the experience with their own poopy face attitude or, oh my God, this is such a pain in the ass, it's still going to be seen as an adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's another episode of the top five game. And you know, we kind of like doing this because it's a way to throw out ideas in kind of a gamey format. I mean, this isn't Jeopardy. There's no Wheel of Fortune going on here, but it's kind of a fun game to play once.
You almost said Jeopardy and you caught yourself. So good for you. Too soon.
Good job.
What?
Alex Trebek died.
Who?
Oh my God.
Just he's a beloved Canadian. You get.
Do you know who might be replacing him?
No,
hopefully nobody.
Hopefully I heard a rumor.
Dolly Parton.
I heard Mr. Reading Rainbow, LeVar Burton, is what I heard.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Is he also Canadian?
He is, I believe. Let me double check.
I don't think.
Just to bring you some joy, there is some footage of Alex Trebek from his CBC Nova Scotia days dropping some F-bombs.
Really?
Yeah.
To round out the persona a little bit, kind of like with the B-rolls of Mr. Rogers occasionally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It warms my heart.
He was a Nova Scotia guy?
He did the news in Nova Scotia in 69, 68.
Alex Trebek.
Oh, was he from there? Did he have the Nova Scotia accent? Because
no.
Nova Scotia accent's a little different than.
Well, Denise still has her Nova Scotia accent.
You're the first one to say it in a long time. But I don't have
You don't have the up and down intonation so much anymore, but you have the vowel pronunciation still.
Yeah, I'm trying to teach Alberta kids vowels. This is actually my job.
I love it.
Those poor children.
Well, it's okay. They have learning disabilities. They don't know.
Maybe next time we do a top five Canadian stories episode of the top round of the top five game. I think that could be fun.
Yeah.
I win.
Do you win?
I already win.
Lisa, I trade you your truck catching on fire to our getting kidnapped by the crackhead.
Oh, well,
I think we have competing number ones. Listeners.
But they were both Suburbans.
Yeah. Look forward to that episode in the future, people. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Hey, enjoy life out there. It's 2021. Get with it. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.